Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever wondered why? Welcome to Mindshifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice. I'm Jeannie Rice, your co-host. We also have co-hosts Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Pichet. We will share with you the wisdom of the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We offer tools and support 5 days a week. We will support you in building a solid foundation within yourself to live in pure love in Aramaic Rachma. Michael is the author of the book, Why Is This Happening to Me Again? For more information about Michael or myself or the forgiveness process, please visit www.whyagain.org. And now, welcome to the show, Mindshifters Radio.
Hi, and welcome to the show. Today is Friday, December 15th, 2017. And our call-in number is 563-999-3581. Press 1, and that puts you in queue to talk to us, and we would love to hear your comments and your questions because that makes this your show. Welcome, Michael.
Well, thank you, dear heart, and welcome, everybody. Honored and delighted that you're with us to share this space and talk about this awesome first century technology called forgiveness. And it's amazing how the meanings of words have been changed to disappear some of the most important knowledge ever to have existed on planet Earth. One of the things that we did last year was create a new 4-hour video called Aramaicisms, which is a 4-hour discussion between Dale Allen Hoffman and myself as we work to understand and reestablish the original meanings of the first century Aramaic words, the root language of at least 5 of the world's major spiritual traditions. And there's a reason why of those traditions it brings forward enough truth that adherence, as much as adherence might change the message, adherents find enough truth to be able to move into a state of living more and more peaceful lives. And if a spiritual tradition is not leading one to more and more spiritual lives, then it's not a spiritual tradition. It's a tradition of men. You go back into the Old Testament and we hear the Creator saying to humans that fear is a commandment of men. And there are so many traditions that are based in fear, that the whole bottom line is that there's some power out there that's going to get you and you're supposed to fear it. And what we understand is, if we go back and hear the first century Aramaic words of Yeshua, where we're told he says, love thy neighbor, in Aramaic, he does not say, love thy neighbor. He says, keep a condition called rachma, a word that's been translated by the Greek as love, but it does not mean that. He says, keep that condition of rachma active in your mind when you think of the Creator and when you think of neighbor, and by doing so, you'll maintain your human life, which is love. So I understand how that came in the Greek mind without the brain cells, without the experience, became love your neighbor, but nothing to do with it. And when we lose that capacity to function as love, then we're in trouble, because the only thing we have left, once we're cut off from the presence of love, the only thing we have left for advice is what's stored in our body-mind units and what comes from the world. And if you look at what's stored in your body-mind unit, you'll notice that everybody in your bloodline that's over 120 is dead. It probably doesn't do really well for keeping us alive. And the truth is, you know, from my background in the arena of physics, what I know is that the so-called body is energy, and energy is eternal. Why aren't we eternal? Because we fill this structure with things that destroy it. And we block the truth of our doing that, the commitment to keep things hidden from ourselves that are true about us is monumental and monstrous. And I offer is the cause of every bit of pain we will ever experience. When we recognize that, and step into changing the dynamics that cause our pain. You know, all pain, I would offer, is by sin. Now, if you put that in the Greek context, you'll hear some kind of a theological threat. There's some creature out there that's going to get you for your sin. If you hear that phrase in an Aramaic context, here's what you hear. Give the brain cells. If you have the eyes to see and the ears to hear, what you hear is that this energy system that's called the body-mind unit has certain energies that belong in it and certain energies that don't. And if you put an energy into the system that doesn't belong in the system, the word that represents doing that is sin. And wherever you put that energy system is going to begin suffering as a result of its sin, as a result of the energy that's been put into it. So, you know, when they say the wages of sin is death, and I can remember, you know, thinking, gee, if death is caused by sin and everybody dies, then we're all sinners. What's that mean? That means we bought into things like hate and fear and anger and rage and guilt, grief and drama and trauma. We found somebody else to blame for it, and we refused to forgive our sin, refused to forgive the energies in us that destroy us. They destroy no one else. They harm no one else. They simply separate us from the presence of love. So when you realize that, then it doesn't become, ah, here's somebody who's to blame for being a sinner. It becomes, what's the energy? What's the sadness? What's the grief? What's the rage? What's the hatred? What's the vengeance that I'm using to block my physiology being powered by the energy that it is designed to be powered by? And it is designed to be powered by the active presence of love. So when I remove that energy that is off the mark, you know, when you, one of the first interdependent steps that we point out in our codependent to interdependent work is that the first step is to recognize the purpose of your form, whether you call it a body or an energy system or whatever it is, the purpose of it is to embody or to incarnate our true being, love. When you realize that, then you realize that it isn't to find somebody else to blame and be angry enough to really convince them that they're the problem in your life, or to be sad enough to, you know, I was reading in the paper yesterday, a congressman kills himself. And it's like, what has to happen to somebody that level in life? What kind of suffering, what kind of pain, what kind of trauma has to happen for somebody to take their own lives in that situation? Well, there were some accusations made, a lot of accusations going around these days. He says they weren't true, but that's irrelevant. What kind of suffering was going on inside of him that he would actually take his own life? And certainly I hold the space for his healing and hold a huge space of compassion for his family. This man had 5 children, 9 grandchildren. It's like the week before Christmas, what kind of trauma must be going on in that household? So I'll just invite everybody, if you would, take a few deep breaths with me and hold a space of love for them. And reading some of the articles around this particular event, you know, there are people who've got all kinds of justifications for sneering at him and telling him what's wrong with him and how he should have and blah, 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 blah. And, you know, one of the sins of this planet, one of the energies that is off the mark on this planet, is this whole idea of punishment, that anybody deserves punishment. No one deserves punishment for anything. We do deserve the space for healing. We do deserve the space of love and support. And certainly I hold the space and invite everyone on the show to hold the space for this congressman, for his family, for his children. Just his whole community has got to be in such a trauma right now. And we're here to be the space of love, to help to burn that trauma out, to burn that energy that is less than love out, and free everyone involved from those dynamics. So we're here to hold that kind of a space for every mind, heart, and being on the planet, recognizing if you've been taught that punishment is the way to go, then I'm going to invite you to pick up the Mind Goal Management Sheet, the forgiveness process, and begin to forgive punishment. Forgive this idea that you deserve anyone's vengeance, including your own, or that you deserve anyone else's vengeance. I know in the prison system, when we ask prisoners, if they felt punished for what they'd done wrong, and they were, I deserve to be punished. Excuse me. You don't deserve to be punished. No one deserves. Well, what about somebody who commits this heinous crime? Somebody who commits this heinous crime and is as much trauma as anybody else? Do they need more trauma? Do they need to have more trauma inflicted? Do the people who think it's a good thing to inflict trauma need any more trauma inflicted on themselves? Ah, but Michael, you see, they're not inflicting it on themselves. They're inflicting it on others. Excuse me? You get the original of everything you play with. They only get the carbon copy, and they may not be home for delivery. And so every bit of trauma that one apparently inflicts on another, they first must inflict on themselves. And when we hold someone in a prison in our mind that holds them that they need to be punished for what they've done or that what they have not done, we're the jailer locked in our own minds with that prisoner. And the prisoner is us. And what's needed is for more and more people to learn to bring forward this presence of love that is human life and bring all hurt and all pain and all suffering and all trauma to that whole mind, to that holy mind of love. And as we bring it forward, what happens is that there is an automatic dissolution of the trauma and we are freed. And we are designed to be freed from that. The mind has confounded the game and justified all sorts of things that we should be doing to ourselves and doing to each other because of the terrible thing you've done. I don't care what the terrible thing is that you've done. It doesn't matter what the terrible thing is that was done to you. When you bring the hurt behind it, the hurt that's in front of it, the hurt that's inside of it forward, presence of active love, then healing occurs. And that's what we're here to do, is to bring forward that healing space. So, Jeannie, is Dr. Tim with us today?
I am here.
He is, and he just offered to take over so that I could hit the road. So thank you.
Awesome. All right, sweetie, we'll see you in a couple hours. Travel safely. How do you beat Tim? What's exciting? What's on your mind today?
Well, I'm doing well. I just flipping in to open up the chat room so that people there can still add input if there are people there. I don't know where to start. Actually, I guess I'll start with thank you to Susan for calling in yesterday and mention that somebody else had their hand up. It might have been Roma, it might have been somebody else, but just to whoever had their hand up yesterday and didn't get a chance to get on, if you want to put your hand up again today, we'd welcome that and your input. I am doing well. I am blessed and highly favored. Haven't heard you say that in a while. And I'm hoping more people call in and tell us why they're listening and if they've got questions. That was what I was using yesterday to get people to push one, is to just, if you can't think of what to say, if you don't have a great testimonial, you can at least raise a hand and tell us what's motivating you to keep listening or listen for the first time. How did you get here? What's your biggest takeaway so far from the radio show, or if you've been to a support group? There aren't really words for how much that improves the quality of the show and makes it easier for us to actually assist people in learning the tools. So I suppose that's my input for today, that and that I'm doing well. Things are moving along nicely.
Awesome. Fabulous. Well, something we haven't talked about in a while, Tim, is about starting a support group and how to start a support group and how to maintain one. And you've been doing an awesome job of that with what is it now, about 13 years now or more? That you've had one group going continuously and a second one Go ahead.
12 years for the one group, and we've pretty much finished that 12th year. And then 3 years ago, I expanded my office so that I could have a second group on Thursday nights. And the key to that is just the willingness to keep showing up. We talk about it a lot, and sometimes it sounds oh so impressive when 8 or 10 or 15 or 20 people show up for a support group. It just sounds like, oh my gosh, that's so impressive. And yet the key to it is to just show up, even when it's just me and one other person. Beyond that, the key to it is to show up when it's just me. And I have had times in the history of that 12 years of running the one group where I was the only one who showed up. And so I put the DVD in and I watched it and did a worksheet and went home. And sometimes when I do that, the entire group time passes and nobody shows up. And sometimes, oddly enough, I stay there, I start the video, or I'm halfway through the video, and somebody shows up, and then somebody else shows up. And if I had given up early, it would have changed the dynamics, and I would have lost the opportunity for that sharing and teaching and healing that happens when two or more people gather and say, I want to improve the quality of my life. And so that's the first thing I would say is to just set the time, commit to it, and as far as is humanly possible without violating your ethics and morals and beliefs, show up on that day and that time. And when you do that, you create this space where people can be drawn to it, where people can expect that if they put in the energy to get there in the afternoon or the evening, when you've carved out these prime time hours of your day, it gives them the motivation to think, well, it's probably going to be worth going because there will be something there for me. The next thing is, literally all this takes is willingness to download your book from the website or buy it at Amazon. For what is it? Are people paying you to take your book now? Is that what it is, Michael?
Now, come on. That's not kind. But, yeah, you can buy it. You know, it's out of print, so you can't buy it new, but the used ones on Amazon are sometimes going for 50 cents. I'm embarrassed to say it, but anyway, it's there.
Well,
and,
I think it's great because the last time I bought them, it was for like $2.50 and $5.50, and I got I got two more used copies and circulated them to people. So, but the point I was making is that if you just have chapter 24 of Michael's book free off the website, or his book you can print off the website, or you buy a copy of his book, you get two or three people together and you start reading a section of the book, discuss it a little bit, and then do a worksheet or two. And that's a support group. And what starts to develop in that environment, especially when you keep the focus on the work and help people practice looking inside themselves whenever there's an upset, what develops is this community, this energy, this loving space, this healing, this integrating that I've never found anywhere else. It's a blessing in my life, the very few times in my life when I've had the blessing to be a member of a really good group. And it's only happened three or four times in my life, and this support group phenomenon is at least half of that. There's probably only been two other groups in my life that were that cohesive, that productive, that loving. So that's it. And then you just have to be willing to, you know, these days, for the past almost 7 years, beyond that, all you have to do is be willing to say, whenever somebody asks you a question in the group, answer it to the best of your ability, and or say, you know what, I don't know, let's call the radio show and get an answer. And the next day or two, you make time to call in the show and the support is, I think it's priceless. You know, what this internet show has made available for people, whether they're going to fly solo and learn to use these tools or they're going to be doing a support group, is just beyond what can be spoken of in terms of physical price. It's just, as I said yesterday to Susan, I use the archives on a regular basis, and it's a huge blessing, and that's what I'd say about starting and running a support group.
Well, I was in a conversation yesterday with Claudia Androcki, and folks who've listened to the show for any length of time have heard us talk about Dr. Stephen Androcki and his wife Claudia. And I was acknowledging her. You know, she's from Mexico, and so English is her second language. Stephen had been involved in this work for about 10 years when they met and moved into relationship. And he just kind of plunked her down in the middle of a Why Is This Happening to Me Again workshop and said, here we go, honey, we're going to learn this. And then they invited me to their office. We taught their medical assistants how to do worksheets with people so that when they were interviewing them or taking blood or whatever they were doing, they were talking about forgiveness. And he and Claudia started a support group in their office. They have the largest medical facility in Pahrump, Nevada. Pahrump is an interesting town. It's out the boonies in the desert. And when you drive into Pahrump, you're likely to see a number of folks walking down the street, their guns hanging on their hips. You drive by the red lighthouse, and the red lights are legal there, as is the business that goes on under them. It's quite an interesting town, but they have the largest medical facility there, and they're now, I think, in their eighth year. So here's a medical doctor who every Friday night, I mean, he and his wife take their Friday night, and they dedicate it to supporting people, learning forgiveness. And, you know, it's awesome to watch the gifts she was sharing with me, just how many gifts it's given her to do that. And as they say, she was just kind of plunked in the middle of it. And we spent time with her teaching the worksheet process and forgiveness. And now she's just amazing, awesome support. She's actually talking about maybe coming to the teacher's training in March on the beach in North Carolina. It'll be interesting if she gets the space set up so that she can do that. Because aside from the shorter workshops that she's done with us, she's had no formal training in the tools. And, of course, the idea of these tools is for us to make them available to every mind, heart, and being on the planet. No skills required. All the skills you need to utilize these tools and to teach these tools is contained in the tools themselves. They're for people. And you know, that, to me, is part of the power of it. I've had so many people over the years who, they haven't started a support group, but what they did do is they started to take people one at a time and sit them down and invite them to do forgiveness work. You know, we had Julie Matthews call us a couple of weeks ago, and actually there's a gentleman and his wife who are in Europe right now that Julie's been doing worksheets with via Skype in Europe, and they're talking about coming to teacher training. So, it's, you know, the impact that you can have on people's lives and the turnaround you can make, just the knowledge that if one is suffering, there is a tool with which to remove suffering, to me, is worth its weight in gold. Because most of the world believes that all of their suffering is caused by someone else, and if they could just get somebody else to change, their suffering would go away. But if you've ever been in that mindset, I'll invite you to notice that, you know, maybe the person 10, 15, 20, 30 years ago that you're blaming your suffering for is long gone from your life, and notice your suffering isn't gone yet, unless you've been doing forgiveness work. So forgiveness, you know, the Greeks taught us that forgiveness is about how I let you off the hook because there's suffering in me caused by you. In Aramaic, forgiveness is a tool with which if they're suffering you, you go inside and you dissolve it, you remove it, you get rid of it, you clean house. And that's what we want to share with people and have people understand. And it doesn't matter what the trauma is. If you begin to use the tool of forgiveness, you will dissolve and remove that trauma. And that trauma that oftentimes ends up in the deep, far end of physical will begin to dissipate and disappear when you allow the circulation and the energy to open that comes from restrictions, from hate and fear and rage and guilt and grief and drama and trauma. So it's pretty awesome to just watch, you know, what one person, totally, completely new to it, done one Y workshop, or somebody walking through one worksheet and turns around and hands it to somebody else, and miracles happen. You know, it's like miracles are, as the Course in Miracles says, they're natural. If miracles aren't happening, there's something off in your life, and what will put it back on is forgiveness. So that's what we're here to do. And if you have a question or a thought for us, we'd love for you to push one, because when you do, a little hand will go up in the control panel, and Tim will introduce you by your area code, and we'll be having a conversation. How can we support you?
Did you hear my intro yesterday?
I did,
or did
not,
you?
Tim, though. I was hauling.
There was one part of it where I mentioned that on Monday I had said something to someone, and they'd gotten so triggered by it that they had to go tap and breathe and do a worksheet, and then they went and looked up the meaning of the word that I used that they thought was responsible for their upset, and they found out that the actual definition has words in it like, you know, gentle, caring, supportive, nurturing, whatever. And so they worked through it because they've had enough experience with me to understand it's an inside job. And then on Wednesday, a couple days later, they were sitting with somebody who was complaining about so-and-so who did this and that and the other thing. And when they reconnected with me on Thursday, they talked about how they had told the person about their experience Monday and how well it worked and what they needed to do was breathe and cancel their goal. And so this is just reinforcing your point that, you know, this person's never even been to a support group. I've just shared this stuff with her over time, and after she had a particularly poignant experience with it herself, life presented her with an opportunity to share it with somebody else, and she did. So share away, even if you're just hearing this show and these tools for the first time. We have a hand up. It is, I believe, Julie from Ashland, Oregon. You're in the air. You might
hey,
be
young
muted.
Lady, welcome.
Hi. I'm here.
Hey, welcome. How are you?
Well, things are percolating, and that's why I called. thank you. I heard you mention my name. I am so thrilled to be doing this work with these beautiful people that want to do it with me, and it's so rewarding and rich. And one of the ways is that things percolate up for me because them showing up in my life shows me more about my life. I know you know this, but I'm getting it. And yet still, I don't know if I need to decode that for other listeners, but you probably will, Michael. I still feel so empowered by the tools to get me through whatever's percolating up, and I just see a bigger picture of, yes, I'm choosing this. This is part of my healing process. In fact, things percolating up are actually part of being shown, just like we ask in the number 5 on the worksheet. We ask to be shown by Rukhita Kucha, you know, and so that's that opening. And once that's open, like you've taught us in some of our intensives, that's a gateway. And so trusting that more will come and percolate up and that that's part of the healing process, it's all symptoms of healing, really helps me, empowers me, when I remember that, to just go forward. And help shows up. There's another part from the Course in Miracles that we read in our Laws of Living conference call weekly, and it's that part where Holy Spirit goes before you and removes all the barriers in the path. And so even though I'm going through some very, I would say it's like one of those hydras in a way, it's I'm going through some deep level healing and removal of things that have been unconsciously driving my whole life. And I can see it and without upset, and I can let myself be shown and moved through it. And I'm just happy and excited and thrilled. And I know I've heard you say this, Michael, even though we need to have money in this world, that for me, this is the kind of work I would just do no matter what for free. And I am not being paid for it. And it's okay because I'm rewarded in so many other ways. And being able to see that, it totally takes me out of being victim, totally. So I guess I've said enough and wanted to offer thanks and gratitude for the amazing value I continue to receive from this work in all ways that I utilize it. And now with other people, I'm teaching them the worksheets. So it's awesome. Thank you. Thank you, Dr. Kim.
Delighted. Delighted, glad to be on the team, and glad to have you on the team and moving it forward. All the learning opportunities that come with it are pretty awesome. Now, one of the things that I think is, it is absolutely the best news that anyone will ever hear. Although, to the non-being mind and for the average person at first, it seems like the worst news they could possibly hear because their lives are predicated on blame. And the best news you'll ever hear is everything you've ever blamed anybody else for is something that's inside of you, created by you, and can be forgiven by you. There's a pretty kind of fun tongue-in-cheek line in the Course in Miracles that says, you think the problem is outside of you. If it was, you would really be in trouble. Fortunately, none of the problems you're experiencing are outside of you. You say, well, yeah, but you know, I don't have money to pay my bills. That's not a problem that's outside of me. Well, but are you living as love? Are you in a state of peace? Can you say to the bill collector, Gino, I love you and I appreciate you calling me back again and just don't have the cash flow, but here's what I can do. You know, I can give you $5 a week. Can you stay connected to love and do that? Or are you going nuts over thinking it's over not being able to pay a bill or whatever the situation or issue is? Because the loss of the presence of peace, of serenity, of our human lives is all an inside job. And with forgiveness, that which we block the awareness of ourselves as the presence of love is all removable, all forgivable. And that's exciting. And something else that's exciting, I haven't been privy to looking at it until today, but Jeannie just got, she's been working on this project for a long time, and she just got the first prototype of the online worksheet. Now, I just did one this morning, and it was one of the easiest worksheets I've ever done, and I'm seeing the potential for people just being able to pick up their phone at any time and do a worksheet is awesome. And so this app will be working on first on the Android, and then we'll take it to the next level of putting it on the iPhone too. But you'll be able to have an app on your phone, and it goes, it walks you right through step by step by step by step the whole forgiveness process, and then gives you the opportunity, if you want to just dissolve it, you can just push the button and get rid of it, or if you want to save it as a PDF, you can save it. So that's pretty awesome, and Beanie's been really working diligently on that. And they've got a prototype for the short form worksheet and also for the regular 7-step. So that's a pretty sweet piece of news that I think she was trying to get it done by Christmas. I'm not sure that that's going to happen, but it's rocking down the railroad track. It's pretty fabulous that she's doing that.
That's awesome. If I'm still on, Michael, that's awesome. Thank you, Jeannie.
You are still on, isn't that?
She's a different kind of genie than just the way she spelled her name. What?
You got it. You got it. Magical.
Yeah, it's miracle. It's sp- spiritually connected to Source. It's not magic, right? It's not magic. Well,
magical.
In my mind.
Yeah.
I'm not sure of other words to say,
What's the challenge for you, and can we support you in it?
Oh, well, let's see. I haven't done enough processing yet to speak 100% responsibly, but I will try. I'm going through dealing with insurance companies not wanting to cover what they contractually agreed to in my policy. And it's kind of vague how policies are written. And in their viewpoint, they think my treatment should be done. And in my viewpoint, I'm now finding that it's just beginning because I'm getting with the right doctors. And so, you know, and there's pre-existing condition kind of stuff. So there's all kinds of little loopholes in the illusion to serve whatever the agenda is for both myself and the insurance company. So I'm wanting to stick to the integrity of what I know is true, and be shown what is true, and be willing to have the courage to move forward with what is right action and true perception, you know, and keep removing my tendency to be a victim and just find the strength inside to keep focused on what needs focus and you know, maybe doesn't need focus, just to be shown, you know.
Yep.
So,
yep,
I guess, well, okay, if you say something, yes, I think I'm ready. I've got a pencil. Thank you. Go ahead.
No resistance there, right?
Well, I'd rather have a mind shifter than all the resistance and telling the storiness. I want to change the energy. Definitely.
There you go. All right. So, got a pen handy? Write it down.
Yes, I do.
My insurers have 100% integrity.
Okay.
And are willing to go above and beyond the terms of my policy.
Okay, wait. Above and beyond the terms of my policy. Okay.
In order to support me in healing.
Wow.
Now, what's the first thing your mind says to that?
Well, I was just writing something else down before this, saying that they don't really care about me. It's just a bookkeeping item, and they're selling fear, and they sell us on that they're going to be responsible and take care of that, which actually I'm responsible for, really.
Take a breath. That's your story.
Yeah, it is.
So let me ask a question. Be a silly offhanded question, won't have any meaning at all, but let me just see if before you ran into this insurance situation, if you'd ever had a circumstance in your life where your experience was, they don't care for me. Now, you probably haven't ever had one of those, so this won't apply, but just on the offhanded chance that perhaps.
Now, Michael, I did have an insight that in childhood, I pretended to be all right to my parents because they were having so much trouble themselves. And that was a big one because I've been going along doing whatever they tell me to do now. And really, I got in touch with some anger. I even got in wanting to be angry about all the anxiety that I have been creating around all this and still doing my pattern to please my parents. So it's a codependence thing, I guess. So, yeah, wanting to be accepted, wanting to be approved of and
taken care of.
And also wanting to take care of others.
The primary goal here, it sounds like, is for them to take care of you and to take care of you properly. That would be one goal, one worksheet. Here's your Hydra, to take care of me properly, to take care of me lovingly, to take care of me in a caring way, to take care of me with integrity. Each of those I would offer would be worksheets to do, goals to cancel, to look into those files in your mind and see what it is in you that brings you to this place of I'm not worthy of being cared for, or people don't care for me, or whatever the dynamic is, doesn't really matter. But as you can forgive as to that, then you'll be able to see your part in creating it. And, you know, I could give you a couple of examples that come to mind. One of them, they say that when the military comes down with orders, the orders don't change. This goes back about, I was still teaching in Fort Lauderdale, Florida, so that's 30 plus years ago. And there was a couple there, and he was in the military. He was a military trainer. And they were due to be transferred out of Fort Lauderdale. And there were two places they were going to be could be transferred. One of them was to Pensacola, Florida, which they hated and didn't ever want to visit again. Or they could be transferred, and I don't remember what town it was, but somewhere up in the Northeast, which was close to both of their families. And they were just terrified they were going to get sent to Pensacola, and sure enough, they got sent to Pensacola. The orders were written. They had them in writing. That's where they were to report, and they had their date for reporting. And they both started to do, I said, well, you know, everything's changeable. Yeah, but, you know, military, nah, that doesn't change. Well, tell you what, why don't you both sit down and start doing worksheets together around this and see what you come up with? About 3 weeks later, they got their orders to go to the exact town they wanted to go to where their families were. Now, I could give you story after story. The first year, the year before I bought Heartland, I did my intensives at a facility called Creative Health Institute in a town, believe it or not, called Hoodunk, Michigan. And it was near Coldwater, Michigan. There was a prison there. We had an open house, an open Why Is This Happening to Me Again workshop. And two people from that prison came, two of the officers came to the Why workshop. They asked after the Why workshop, you know, I told them we do a lot of prison work and we're free and we'll be glad to take it. And they said, well, will you come and do a series? And we were doing a 30-day workshop. So we were going to be in that area for at least, I forget now, 8 or 9 weeks. And they set it up and we came in. It was a women's prison, a medium security women's prison. People with some pretty serious offenses, murder and such. And one of the women who came to the series, the first day, she shared with us how she had been pregnant when she got into jail. Her husband had been abusing her, and she murdered him. And they put her in jail for, I don't remember, 25 years or something. And she was pregnant when she went to jail. She had the baby in jail. And then the baby was taken by her grandparents, who lived about 4 hours away. Her grandparents were elderly, and she'd only seen her child, I don't remember now exactly, once or twice since the child was born. The child was now about 6. And she had asked repeatedly on a compassionate basis that she be allowed. There was a minimum security facility in the town where her parents were. She had asked repeatedly if, on a basis of compassion, they could send her to that facility. And the officialdom in the prison kind of laughed in her face. It's like, lady, you're a murderer. You're here. You're never going to get out of here. 6 weeks later, we did a 6-week workshop series. The 6th week, she'd been doing worksheets every day on that issue from when we started this series. On the 6th week, she walked in with her transfer papers to the minimum security facility where in the town where her parents and her child were. Remember, this is an energy system. This is an energy system. The truth is, when I choose love, go back, look at step 4 in the worksheet. When I choose love, it wakes up the love in everyone. Now, I don't care if you're dealing with one of the most, you know, destructive, deleterious organizations in the world or people in the world. The truth is, we're all made of the same stuff. Now, if I'm in my hostility, fear, loss, you know, people pick on me, I'm not good enough, I deserve this, then that's what I tend to resonate in the people around me. But when I choose love, when I can presence active love, now this doesn't mean everything's going to go the way you want it to, but when I presence active love, I have a much better chance. If that's the energy that I'm spraying out into the world, and everything that moves in us sprays out into the world, literally on an energetic level, if I'm spraying love out into the world, anybody's mind can change in the presence of that love. And that person can jump into bending the rules to support me rather than cooperating with my belief that I don't deserve it. Not sure what all the noise is, but whoever's mounting your microphone around, if you stop or put yourself on mute. So remember, every time you read that line in line four, when I choose love, it wakes up the love in everyone. That line's in there because that's the literal truth. And when love shows up, anything is possible. So does that fit? Make sense for you?
Wow. Am I here?
You're
here.
Can
you hear me? Okay, yeah, that makes so much sense. I was, when there was that distortion or whatever you heard coming from me was me going, wow, wow.
Okay.
So yes, thank you for the reminder, and that's what I mostly trust. I mostly trust the energy can change, especially I have the tool for changing the energy.
There you go.
That's the best news
you'll ever have. Best news you'll ever have. It's all an inside job.
And just trusting, even if I sit down with a worksheet and I don't even know what I'm going for necessarily, I'm just willing to look into the energy that I've been using to create the situation I have, then the worksheet is so genius. It's just so beautiful. And I know there have been many contributions to it over the years. So I know I'm not stroking your ego. I'm giving the witnessing to it. Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's actually so sacred. Many of us comment sometimes about that. But so you're going to probably hear more from me, results from me in the future, because I'll be working on it.
Awesome. Very cool.
Yeah.
Well, is there anything
thank
else
you for
we can do to support you at this moment?
No, that was great, and thank you. Okay. Bye. Blessings.
All right, you have a blessed day. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
All right, Dr. Tim. Any other thoughts for you before we check the phone call?
Well, just as the usual, the dittos. The energy, Jung used to call it synchronicity, the energy of coincidence, the energy of how we're connected is always there. And if I'm coming from hostility or fear, I don't get to see it. If I recognize those as alarm systems and use the alarm to get me to focus on myself, I can remind myself by removing everything that's less than that energy that, oh, wait a minute, I am connected to everyone and this is a loving universe. And just because I can't see the benefit to me in this situation or the benefit to the people around me or the people I love, it doesn't mean it's not there. Just like because I can't see my unconscious, it doesn't mean it's not driving my behavior. It certainly is. So the call-in number is 563-999-3581. We have plenty of callers. And again, if you can't think of something that we can support you with, you could call and just say, here's why I listen to the show. Here's what I find valuable about it. 563-999-3581. If you press 1, I'll announce you by your area code. And the people in the chat room have been quiet pretty much since Jeannie left. But there's a couple of them in there, and they're just listening.
Jeannie talked with Michelle this morning, and Michelle was doing well enough to be out and doing some Christmas shopping. So apparently she said that I didn't get the doctor, but she said Michelle's doing very well. So we keep holding the space for her. And if there isn't a hand up, I've got a little story I'll tell. It's kind of cute. I just mentioned the town where we used to do our intensives, Creative Health Institute. The town is called Hodunk, Michigan. And there really is a town called Hodunk, Michigan. I forget what it was originally called, but way back turn of the century, the town was called something else. And the state wrote to the town officials and said, you've got to change your name. We have another town incorporated in Michigan, and it was incorporated before you were, so you have to change your name. And so apparently, and Hodunk is like this little one-pony town, and all the people in town, which I guess were a dozen or so, got together at the pub to discuss what they were going to call the town. And I guess the libations were flowing freely, and somebody came up with the idea of, why don't we call it Hodunk? Well, the history of Hodunk is that the town was not big enough to have its own store, so there was a, I don't know, in Canada, what we used to call a sheeny man, and that was somebody who had a cart with all kinds of different household products on it, you know, maybe carried pots and pans and tablecloths and, you know, that sort of thing. And this was a traveling salesman, and he'd come to town every once in a while. And he would pull up in front of the tavern, and his donkey's name that pulled his cart was Dunk. And this is, according to the story there, this is a true story. This guy would pull up in front of the bar, and he'd call out to his donkey, Hodunk. So I guess there were enough libations flowing that when somebody tongue-in-cheek threw out this idea of calling it Hodunk, they all went, yeah, that's it. That's the name of our town. And it is the name of the town yesterday, Hodunk, Michigan. Who has more fun than people? I'm sure there are many other funny stories about how towns have been named, but to me that one was hilarious. And I heard just recently that Creative Health Institute just reopened. Sadly, the gentleman who back when I used to do my intensives there before we got to Heartland, the gentleman who owned it and ran it was in a fire. It used to be the property was on was an old mill, and they had some family money, and he built this Hippocrates Health Center there to bring the Hippocrates program to Michigan. And he built himself a home, or his home was in the old mill. He was up on the third floor of the old mill, which was all old timber. And apparently a fire started, and he got out, but decided that there was something in there that was precious that he had to go back in and get, and the fire trapped. He was trapped in the fire and died. So Creative Health Institute shut down. But I understand recently in a conversation with someone that it had reopened. So if you're up in that Michigan area, you might just check out. I don't know if it's called Creative Health Institute today or not, but it's a pretty cool facility. And other than that, we're down to about, I guess, 4 minutes, 5 minutes. And if there are no hands up, we'll talk a little bit about coming and joining us in Birmingham, Alabama. We're actually doing a thing called Homecoming Week there. I was mentioning the other day that the minister who'd been there for the decades that we spoke at the church had passed away, and a lot of people left, and there were a lot of disturbed feelings and such. So we actually have been talking with the church, and we're going to invite all those folks back that left for some healing. So we're going to do a week of healing through relationships and codependence, forgiveness, and so that's going to be in the second week in January in Birmingham, Alabama. And then the next week we'll head down the road a couple of hours to Marietta, Georgia. Unity North there will be doing a week of workshops. And we've got a conversation going with someone in Atlanta, where we might do a second week while we're there. I'm not sure. We'll see how that unfolds. Otherwise, we're also talking to folks in Knoxville about doing some work. We've got a couple of weeks open, and then we'll be in February. We'll be in Wilmington, North Carolina. Thank you, Susan, for the awesome work you're doing there in Wilmington. We'll be doing a week at Unity in Wilmington, and then we've got a few days off, and on the 1st of March, we'll be starting a 16-day teacher training. That 17-day teacher training. And that 17-day will be followed up with a 3-day personal code evaluation, at least tentatively. The 17-day teacher training is actually made up of two intensives, the 9-day why is this happening to me again, and a 9-day teacher training. The 9-day why is a prerequisite for the teacher training. At the same time as I'm doing the 9-day why is this happening to me again, where we'll cover a variety of workshops, why is this happening to me again, healing through relationships, communication, did you hear what I think I said, purpose, personal power and commitment, power to heal, mind shifters, hands-on energy field work, still point breathing in that 9-day, Jeannie will be doing a parallel Women Healing Women intensive covering those same topics. Some of the segments in the course will work together. We'll be doing the still point breathing as a group. We'll be doing the hands-on energy field work. We'll be sharing and preparing this awesome fresh and raw food together. And so looking forward to that time frame. And if you're ready to jump on board and do that, we'd be delighted to hear from you. And then Julie Haverstick has started a program she's calling Pay It Forward, and she's hoping to get that underway by the 1st of January. And what she's doing is she's volunteered for anyone who registers for the 16-day Food Fund Forgiveness and Work program at Heartland. She's volunteered to do 10 free sessions with them. And each session's about an hour and a half or so. So she's volunteering about 15 hours per person. She normally charges $80 an hour for her work. And that'll come as a gift as part of your registration with the 16-day. And the Food Fund Forgiveness is kind of an economy program at Heartland. Includes this awesome food. We'll actually do some cooked food during that. Though in our intensives we do strictly fresh and raw, but we're doing some cooked food during the Food Fund Forgiveness and Work program. There'll be a trip to Branson to do a show about an hour away. There'll be a canoe trip. There's going to be an art project. A bunch of things going on for fun and healing. So if you're interested in joining us, we'd be delighted to have you with us. And if you get in touch with Jeannie at whyagain.org, or you can go to the website. You can drop an email from there. My phone number is there. Jeannie's phone number is there. Call us. Get yourself registered. Come and play. In the meantime, create the best year yet of your eternal life. It's an awesome gift to give the world, and we're here to support you being able to do it. Blessings. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to Mind Shifters Radio with the Forgiveness Doctor, Dr. Michael Rice, and myself, Jeannie Rice, and Dr. Tim Hayes and Michelle Pache, as we present the first century Aramaic internal process of forgiveness. We are here every Monday through Friday from 1 to 2 o'clock Eastern Time on Mindshifters Radio. For more on Michael or myself or Aramaic forgiveness, please visit www.whyagain.org. That's www.whyagain.org.